Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, it's an honor, it's a privilege that your spirit dwells us. We are grateful for this eternal privilege. We're grateful. We're grateful. Our hearts magnify you in the name of Jesus. And today, as we look in the reality of your word, we see again our own reality clearly in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, good morning, everybody. Have your seat. Are you believing this front row for the Holy Ghost or who? Okay. Hallelujah. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. I can see you guys are shining and glowing. Apart from Ope, every other person is glowing. All right. So bring out your Bibles, bring out your books and your pen. Bibles, books, and your Bible. Okay, let's do a litmus test. Can I see your Bibles? Hard copy. Hard copy Bibles. Some people at that angle do not have hard copy Bibles. Okay, can I see your books? Books? Your books. Let's see. Those that are using pamphlets and those that want to use paper. There are no such men here. Glory. All right, let's see your books, 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 books. Okay. All right. And let me see your pen and your spare. Put that spare. Where's your pen? Pen, 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 pen. Good, you are ready. I see your, okay. All right, we are ready. We are good to go. All right, let's start. You did. All right, I won't call your name yet. Okay, okay. It's all right. Are we ready to go? I know you have a pen and a spare. Kevin is the only prepared person in church this morning. The other's mercy covers you. Today we are going to be looking at something that is necessary to look at. The topic, I don't know how to phrase it, but just phrase it the way the question was asked us and we handled it during our minister's exam, which is, why do bad things happen to Christians? Why do bad things happen to Christians? As you're aware, some weeks back, we did the minister's exams here, and some of the questions that were asked us in the course of, for a couple of months, we're going to be handling it here, one after the other. But today we'll be looking at why do bad things happen to Christians. And you know this is necessary to understand. Because of course, I know, why do we do this? Why do we go to teachings or go to this length to teach? If I ask you, I'm sure every one of us at least will have an idea of how to answer, right? We're talking about the details. And this is something you're going to meet a lot. Why? Because if you encounter any so-called atheists, especially the ones that are social media atheists, the ones on Facebook, one of the things they'll tell you is, what kind of God is that? This God is just stupid. There cannot be a God and such nonsense is happening. Everything is just going helter, secretas, escatas. That if God is, if a God is supposed to be in control of that, he's supposed to be powerful, and tsunamis, earthquakes, things are just happening, then that God is not worthy to be served. He's not worthy to even be acknowledged. That's one of their major arguments. And unfortunately, you will see even believers falling into that same trap. Why? Because most of them have become disillusioned by an expectation they have of God that was not met. So you see some person say, God, where were you when my sister died? I prayed. Have you met such persons? I prayed. Is it that God does not want to hear? Oh God, then the worst one is when they will just say God had a special plan for him. Or God took him because you don't know what would have happened in the next one here. In trying to console such persons, they offer even more dangerous statements to the personal of God. And say, God had more plans for you. We love you, but God loves you more. You know, all the he's in a better place now. The suffering was too much. Or just God knows best. You can't question God. Or you know, many of the platitudes we give to just cushion the effect of hurt and danger. But is it really so? You see, even that man he prays a lot. Yet his wife died. Why? Because we have given ourselves a mindset that for Even if things want to happen to everybody in the world, for Christians, at least their case should be special, right? Just because they are Christians. So the fact that you are a believer, just because of that one alone, bad things should no longer happen to you. So if bad things happen to you and you're a believer, especially if you're a tongue-speaking, fire-spitting believer, then it means that God has failed you in one way or the other. So because of such questions in the hearts of men, it is necessary that we teach these things so that there will be no iota of doubt as to what to expect. If you know what to expect and you can channel your expectations appropriately, then it is much more likely that you will get the results that you desire. Do you understand? So that's why we are teaching this morning. Okay, why do bad things happen to Christians? We have said the need to address this subject matter so that we can understand if being a Christian is an automatic ticket not to have physical challenges otherwise. All right. Now, let's just write these questions down. So these are the questions we're going to tackle so that by the end of this teaching, both this one and the next one, you'll be able to know if you've answered it correctly. And if you still have questions concerning it, let me know. All right. So does God not care about the evils that happen in the world? Does God care about the evils that happen in the world? Anyhow, you want to phrase that. Okay. Aha. Because if God cares, then should he sit back and just watch as the earth is degenerating into chaos? Should he just sit back? Does he not care what is going on around him? And of course, does being a Christian gives me an automatic cover against challenges on the earth? Does my being a Christian gives me an automatic cover? Does it give me automatic immunity against challenges in the earth? All right. So I think those two questions, if we can answer that, then our focus today has been achieved. Okay. All right. Today, to answer this, we're going to look at what the Bible calls the world, which is cosmos, K-O-S-M-O-S. You know, two words were used for world, translated as world in the Bible, in the Greek Bible at least, cosmos and aeon. So when you talk about aeon, most times you talk about the ages, dispensation. But when you want to talk about the world, the universe as it is, the things that happen, how it operates, everything, that's cosmos. So K-O-S-M-O-S, and that's what we're discussing this morning. How does it operate? What is the operating system? What happens in the world? What is the SI? I know math now. SI, is it SI units or be SI formula? What do you call that thing? That is what you used to solve every other day. Oh, wow, I'm good. So what is the SI unit of what happens in the matter? Is it, what is the matter? What is the SI unit of things that happen in the world? That's what we're going to look at today. All right, let's see. We'll start from Genesis 1. Because we know we have a document with which to understand God. And we have a document with which to understand redemption. We have a document with which to understand the progression of things even in the world. And to understand things clearly, we always go back to Genesis. So Genesis chapter 1. Of course, if you're in this church, we know we have a 21 part sermon on understanding Genesis alone, series 1 and series 2. Have we progressed beyond Genesis 6? I don't think so. We're just in. So just from Genesis 1 to 6, we already have 21 sermons. Part 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, like that, 21. So there are a lot of things for you to cover up if you're not there. But today I'm not going to look at the spiritual undertones in Genesis, okay? That is for understanding Genesis series 1 and 2. So today we're just going to be restricting ourselves to what we're going to study, which is the physical aspect. All right, so let's see Genesis 1. We're answering the question now that does God not care about the things that happen in the world? Okay, so we see Genesis 1, verse 1. What does he say? Heaven and the earth. Okay, and then if you go down, read all through. Okay, let's just read. I should not summarize for you. Let's start from verse 3. Let's go. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day. And the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Then verse 6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. And let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the water which was above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And the second, and the evening and the morning were the second day. Okay. Verse 9. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place. And let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called the seas. And God saw that it was good. Okay, verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit, which seed was in itself after its kind. And God saw that it was good. All right, so okay, let's just keep reading. Verse 13. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let there be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let there be for light in the firmament of the heaven to give light unto the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that had life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kinds, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the sea, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Okay, so now we see a general summary of creation. What was the constant thread you keep seeing after every day? It was what? It was what? It was good. So you keep saying it was good. Now, if God says something is good, is it really good? Is it good? Could there have been any danger or challenge or something wrong with the way it was created? No. It was perfect. It was good. So where did the chaos start from? Okay. So that was the fifth day. And what did God create in the sixth day? On the sixth day, God created what? Who did God create on the sixth day? Who did God create on the sixth day? People forgot in Genesis 1. God created man on the sixth day. And what happened on the seventh day? God what? Rested and ceased from his works. Now we're going to get there. Okay, so now let's see what happened. On the sixth day, God created man. That was verse, of course, we know that the man in the mind of God, and what God created was the spirit of man. I said I was not going to touch this. I don't want to say things in half and half. Please don't let me go there. Understanding Genesis series 1 covers this fully, at least. Okay, so let's see what happened now in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. It was after God created man, male and female. Spirit of man was created male and female. All right, so verse 28. God said to man, and God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Okay, so all creation created before man was created and placed in whose dominion? In whose dominion? So from then henceforth, who has the control of what happens on earth? Is that clear? Who has the control? Man. So even though when we saw the all thing that happens in creation, and we saw that God created man last for all everything created for man, and then man was given an instruction, subdue the earth, dominate it, have dominion. Have we seen that happen? Of course. Man has, over the years, the thousands of millennia, the millennials we have had, have always progressed in his attempt to subdue the earth. There is nothing that, let me say there's nothing. Maybe there are still things they are creating. There is almost nothing that man has not been able to subdue. So we subdued land, we conquered it, the trees and forests cut it down. Man was able to create roads and tarred roads, and all these things were done a day. Do you understand? They were not, man just, in fact, okay, we've done land, how do we move on land? Okay, why do we move on the water? Man created boats from the canoes to the boats to the ships, entered submarines. Submarine will go to the bottom. So there's nothing that man could not assess, right? Okay, what about the air? Oh yeah, let us do from the, whatever they started from till it progressed to aeroplanes and then to private jets and then to rockets. So we want to go over from what we can see. Man has always being on the drive to subdue that earth that was given to him. Which is correct, which is good, which is what is in his own, within his rights to do, because that was what he was asked to do, subdue, dominate. Meaning that man could not say, hey, I want to go into this water, or I want to find a way to go to the water, and the water will say, you cannot come inside me. Because man has been given dominion and the authority to subdue everything on earth. Okay, now let us see. Let's see tracing God's involvement and the rest. Okay, let's see. All right, verse 31, that same Genesis 1:31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was good. Behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Okay, now let's end that chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it, he rested from all his work which God had created and made. Of course, we see the significance of that in all the spiritual undertones in all the sermons that we have covered. But we see that after God created, he himself rested from his work. Meaning that for creation, for anything to be created again, will no longer demand God's involvement. Everything that will be created from then, henceforth, was going to be under the jurisdiction of man. Everything that should henceforth happen was under man's jurisdiction. And why? Because when you say God made the heaven and the earth and the host of them, it was not, of course, you see, the specific talking about animals and the rest. But of course, you know that the earth was created with resources in it, right? The resources on the earth is not man that is putting in there. Man keeps discovering. All man does is to discover what has already been placed on the earth, and then how to channel it and utilize it and take it into different areas. But when God created the earth, every resource that was necessary for the sustenance of man from generations to generations was already embedded on the earth. There was nothing that man would need to produce anything else that was not there. So even the computers and the rest that we have, all the nitty-gritty to how it was created was already, all the resources are already on earth, which God already made. Is that clear? All right. So now God rested, and knowing fully well that subsequently everything was fully in man's charge, man's domain, for man to do as he seems fit. Okay. Let's see another. Let's see Psalm 115 before we progress. This is just an introduction. Psalm 115. Verse 16. Glory, glory, glory. Are we there? Psalm 115, verse 16. 115, verse 16. Hey, the heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth had he given to the children of men. So we see clearly that earth was placed in man's dominion. Earth was placed under man. Earth was given for man to subdue. It was given to the children of men. And we know that when God gives something, he doesn't take it back, right? God gives and he gives. Okay, so the earth, all his resources, everything in it is for man and in man's control. And something else was given to man that makes it almost look like God becomes helpless in how things is done on earth, which is what? Choice. Man's free will, man's choice. So God did not create a man that would become a robot to him, or that would just not know what to do. That was why you see in Genesis chapter 2, how the same man progressed and even did things that he was not asked to do. Because you have to go to the series, you understand what I'm trying to say. Because he had choice, he had free will, he had automatic reign. Because if you tell a man that have dominion, and you don't give him that power or liberty to make a choice, have you actually given him dominion? No. So that would have been a lie. So by saying have dominion, what he's saying as part of that is that you have the choice to do whatever it is that you want to do. That is very important, choice. Because if I have given you a choice, now, would the power to do anything else lie with me? Would it lie with me? At most, all I can say is for your choice to agree with mine. Because if I've given you a choice, it is your choice. The power is now yours. That word, God choice, is very powerful. Very powerful. Very powerful. If I come to you, like what I don't like doing most times, if you stay in my house, and then I say, if I don't come to ask you anything in the morning, So Gary, the afternoon, if I don't even need to, I just put the Gary in front of you. You are eating it, right? Afternoon, put granola in front of you. Evening, put water. The next day, just like that. Do you have any right to complain? No. Even if I come and I say, eat Gary, am I giving you a choice? No. But what will happen if I come to you and like some people want, and then I say, what do you want to eat this morning? Rice? There's rice? Please, it can't happen. Don't bother. There's rice. There is Indomie. There is spaghetti. There's fufu, of course. There has to be fufu. And there is shawarma, Irish potato for some persons. So I give you all those options. What have I invariably placed under you? So if you now tell me, I just tell you that, okay, in the kitchen or in the storeroom, there is this, whatever you want to eat. Do I have the power to come back and say, hey, why did you eat my rice? Will I not be crazy? Will you not see me as the evil witch from the West? Did you not say I should eat the rice? Or do you not say I should eat anything that, if I come back and say, why did you eat the rice, the beans, the yam? Did I tell you to take one? I say in the kitchen, there is this, help yourself. Choice, that is power. With choice comes power. That ability to choose, it is power in itself. And it is to the exclusion of the person that even gave you that choice. Because all I can do is to give you the choice. I can no longer regulate or say what you should do with it. It has, by giving you a choice, I have removed power from myself. But if I don't give you that choice, then the right and the full control of my kitchen still lies with me. I can come back, and if I see you have eaten something that I did not give you the rights to eat, I can shout on you and I can scold you, and I will be within my rights. But by saying you have a choice to do whatever it is that you, I have removed power from myself to be able to fully control what happens in my kitchen. Is that correct? All right, so that I've tried to bring it down to as basic as I can. All right, now let's see Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, we see the intention of God communicated to Adam. Genesis chapter 2. Are we there? Open. I'm just still in introduction. We have to be fast. Okay, let's be fast now. Genesis chapter 2. Okay, from verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden, thou mayest what? What does that signify? Choice. Okay. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. But the day that thou shalt eat of it, thou shalt surely die. Now, of course, there are some things I'm skipping there. If you have listened to understand Genesis, you'll know why. So you go and listen to it. But did God place two choices in front of? Of course, you know this was a vision, right? For the case, okay. Genesis 1 to 3 was communicated as a vision to who wrote Genesis 1 to 3? Moses. Was Moses there? So how could he have known? By vision, by revelation. So Moses saw this by vision. And of course, you know that visions need to be interpreted. How many of you have had visions before where you're just seeing water flowing and fire coming out from the air, and you're just seeing one dragon is just running, and so the thing is just going. Then if you just come and say, I saw a vision. What's the vision? A dragon was bringing that fire, and then somebody was running down, and something that looked like a cat that jumped on top of the fire. And you know, at the end of the day, what have you said? What have you said? Nothing. But you will have to interpret it and say, okay, so this means what? This means this, right? So visions must be interpreted. And of course, by the Spirit of Christ in us, we're able to fully understand what happened. So we know that it's not a function of tree. Forget what Jehovah's Witness people said. Am I too fast? Am I too fast? I always talk too fast. Okay, you know that it was not tree, as in fruits, that these people ate, right? Forget what Jehovah's Witness people said in their book, because that's all we knew when we were growing up. My book of Bible stories, and then we saw a red apple that was given to Adam, very red. And if caught the apple, they've eaten one part of it. And then so for a lot of time, we all thought that apple was the fruit of sin. Anyway, but we know that this was a vision. So what is communicated to man? What did God say? Was there three literal trees? Eat this, eat that. Or was there two trees? Even if it was there two options placed before man. That choose life. I have placed before you life and death. So choose life. Was that what happened? If that was what happened, then who created the death that Adam was to choose from? Do you understand? So if there was actually two options of life and death before Adam, it means that there would have already been a creation of death already that Adam could have partook of. But we know that God did not create death. So it was not possible that a death option was placed before Adam. So this was simply a communication of your choice and its consequence. Because man must realize that even though you have been given free will, which is choice, there is something you cannot escape from, which is the consequences of your choice. You can choose. You have the option to choose or make your choice, but to accept or reject the consequences is no longer within your power. If I was the master, have I lost you? Write what you can. I said man, God was communicating to man that he has a choice. He has a right to make a choice. He can choose what he wants. But with every choice, there is something called a consequence attached to it. And man is free to make a choice, but he's not free to accept or reject the consequences attached to that choice. So if you make a choice of life, you will receive life. But your failure to choose life, the consequence of that will be death. Simple as that. So that was the choice placed before Adam, and he was informed of the consequences. So he was fully aware of God's intention, God's plan for him. Of course, you see what happened, and then you will be able to fully understand that. All right, so we see that life was communicated, the message was communicated to Adam in Genesis 2. In our previous studies, we understand what happened. But of course, let me just say something. We understand in Genesis. Understand Genesis. Let's see Romans 5. Romans 5. Let's clarify this. If it was actually God that placed death before Adam. Romans chapter 5. This is the only one I will clarify. The rest, please don't forget, I've been mentioning this series, Understand Genesis series 1 and 2. If you're not here when it was taught, ensure you go back and listen to them. It's fundamental to understand a lot of things that will be taught here. Okay, Romans 5. Are we there? Verse 12. Are we there? We have to see this together. Okay, let's go. Wherefore, as by who? Who? Did you see God there? Okay, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all for what? For all that sin. Okay, of course, you know that this was also rephrased in Understanding Genesis series 2. God. But what I'm trying to bring out here is that through one man, sin entered. And the consequence of that sin was death. What was the sin? The refusal of Adam to choose life. And so because of that, an ungodly influence passed over all men. But what was introduced? The consequence of that sin, which is death. Why the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. The salary, the consequence of sin is death. So you cannot choose to sin and not choose the death. By choosing sin, you have automatically chose death. You can't choose sin and say, okay, I want to just choose this sin, but refuse the death that accompanies it. No, you don't have that choice. Okay, all right, so we see that Adam chose sin, and by that, death entered into the earth, or into the world. Now, the refusal to partake of life was that sin that Adam committed, and we saw that that is how the element of death came in. Now, in God's creation, was he perfect? Was God's creation perfect? Who introduced the eta secretas? Okay, so was God creation perfect?
Yes.
Who introduced this confusion and the chaos? Wow. Better. Let's say Eve. Why? Why? What's your issue with Eve? Did you not see that it was until did you not see that it was until Adam partook of the fruit that their eyes were opened? Even after Eve. So forget that. So it is not the woman. All right, praise God. All right, so let's continue what we are discussing. Hallelujah. Are we together?
Yes,
all right. Well, nobody heard what I said. All right. So Romans 5, we've seen that introduction of death into the world was by man, not God. Because that is the first thing you must choose to clarify. God did not bring death. God did not place death before Adam. God was not the one that introduced death in any form, in any variation. It was not God. That was simply man's choice. Man's choice created these things. And then you see what happened now in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Let's progress there now. Genesis 3. This was another place that people have said, God cursed man or God cursed the earth because of man. All right, let's see what happened. Genesis chapter 3. This was after Adam had made his choice and he was presented with, or when he was asked what happened. And of course, Adam being Adam, like that brother over there, transferred the blame to who? Eve. And of course, Eve, as an innocent bystander, you know she was innocent. Of course, if you don't know what happened, just get the book. There's Pastor Seku's book available, Discovery Woman. You understand a lot of things concerning that. Of course, in our series, it was also taught. So the book is available at the back. If you want to, let me know. Just put down there. Okay. All right. So you see, what Eve was presented with her options, what did she do? So of course, innocently and rightly so, she told who was responsible, right? Eve does not tell lies. Hallelujah. So she said the truth as it were. Okay. Now let's see the effect. Now, who was documenting this? Why are you looking at me like that? Who was documenting this? Moses. All right, let's see. Verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Verse 17, and unto Adam he said, because thou art hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and thou hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it was thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Okay, now let's see. This is physical things we are seeing here, right? Go back to Genesis 2. Genesis 2:17. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou shalt eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, we've said a choice before presented to Adam that if you refuse to take of life, the consequence of what will happen will be death. Now, when Adam ate or what Adam sinned or committed this, did Adam fall down and die? So could God have been talking about physical death here? Could he? Now, did God say anything else besides spiritual consequences? Was anything beyond spiritual consequences presented to Adam? Was it? No. Only spiritual consequences were presented to Adam, because God does not give man physical consequences as reward for sin or whatever. No, he does not even give this. What man introduces is spiritual death. Now, a lot of things come about by reason of that spiritual death. The same way sin brings death, death introduces a whole host of chaos with it. Do you understand? All right, now, this is now Moses in Genesis 3, itemizing the consequences of what has happened. This is what you will see. Because man will not see spiritual death, will he? He won't. But this is what would, the effect of that, this is where it will flow from. You will see it like this. This same creation that was perfect will now start yielding thistles and thorns. They were not there in Genesis 1. There will be a disorder. There will be a disarray of even creation, because the sin of Adam affected even creation. Do you understand? So this was a presentation to Adam. Now, to partake of the wealth of the ground, we be with labor. We be with toiling. To get things done will not be with the ease that you should have enjoyed. It will no longer come as easily as you want it to. This is Moses saying, you know, after Moses had written this thousands of years before it happened, right? So this was already things that already happened. So there could already be a serious significance or difference shift between Genesis 1 and even what Moses could see at this time. And where he could retrace it to, this is what caused it. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Are you sure? Please don't, you have to follow me every step of the way. Okay. All right. So we see those are declarations. These are the things that has happened because of your refusal to choose life. Now, this death will have its own consequence upon the world, upon the cosmos. It will affect how things are done. And then we see from Genesis 3 down to Genesis 4, we start seeing it playing out. We start seeing jealousy. rage, hatred for the brethren, hatred for the truth, culminating in killing somebody, murder. Genesis 4, right? That was Cain. Who the first person to kill on earth? Cain. From there, it progressed. Genesis 5. Genesis 6, you see that the thoughts of man, evil continuously. Genesis 5, you see Lamech say, I have killed one or seven persons or whatever. That I don't know whether it was a problem. He was telling his wives what he did. I don't know. But, you, oh, okay. I'm sure you understand what I'm trying to say. Genesis 5, that was a recording of murders too. Genesis 6, you see the confession, the thoughts of man, evil continually all the days of his life. And what happened? The flood. Of course, if you still listen to understand Genesis, you will see what caused the flood, if it was God, if it was man, and the rest. No, God did not cause any flood. Those things are already extensively discussed. That is why I am not paying attention. I'm not discussing them in detail. Just please get it if you have not listened to them. All right, so now we see from there, Genesis 4, 5, we just see a progression of how the world started degenerating. It just started going downhill from there. It never became better. From 5, 6, 7, 8, just be tracing it down. Wars, famine, everything was just coming up and just introducing. At every point in time, new diversions or new retrogression was being introduced. Until we got to Ecclesiastes. No, we did this in our last series, right? Our Jesus. Okay, let's go to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes. Okay. Now, we know that the reason why many people say God had a hand in all these things, that it was God, 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 because even in Genesis chapter 6, you will see God's name there, right? I repented that I have made man, and so his days shall be 120. And because you just see the use of God, God, God being used there, that's why persons can pick up the Bible and say, see it now. Did you not see God's name there? But you know, if you listen to, if you follow our series on God's word and God's action, series 1 and 2, you realize that it's not every time the Bible says God that you see God there in actively playing out. So to be able to understand, I cannot honestly go verse by verse analyzing, is this God? No, we have over 60 sermons on our website that handles this. If you listen to Understand Genesis series 1 and 2, if you listen to God's Word and God's Action series 1 and 2, if you listen to God, Can the Bible Be Wrong series 1 and 2, even our Jesus that we are on, God Understanding Job's Calamity, Stopping Demonic Activities, there are series there that talk about the character of God fully. So please get them. Okay? And then go over it again for those of you that were here. All right, so that is why people say God, God, but we are tracing it now to see God's influence and what God did not do and what he did as best as I can. All right, let's see Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, the book of the preacher. Oh boy. Let's round up this in 10 minutes so we can start. Okay, Ecclesiastes chapter 1. But so far, the summary of all I've said so far is that creation was, in Genesis 1, was perfect, and it was placed under the dominion of man, including angels. Of course, including angels. Everything, so long as it was created, was placed under man's dominion. Man had full dominion over everything. And how we saw that man himself caused the confusion by rejecting life and introducing death, and from there, things just went downhill from there. Okay, Ecclesiastes chapter 1, from verse 1. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, said the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? Now, if you read this whole book, you will see a common phrase the man used a lot, which is under the sun. Under the sun. You will see it almost everywhere. Under the sun. Meaning that he was analyzing the things that go on the earth. Do you understand? So this is not a doctrinal book or anything. It is a man's simple appraisal or philosophical approach of the things he has witnessed that happens on earth. How many of you have done that before you became born again? I know I used to do it a lot. When I was small, I would sit in front of my mom's shop and just be looking at the cars and everybody's passing. I was like, where are we? Where did we come from? Who created us? Why are we here? Oh, and I've heard that people go to hell. I'm like, why would God just send us to hell? Especially after I've gone to do altar call every month. I've gone, and I was a very good girl when I was growing up, very obedient child, and I didn't used to fight and all things are passed away. Right now, all I know is the things I have in Christ. That's my reality. So before now, I was always a very good girl. So when I was... now I'm the preferred. My better days. I was good before. Now I'm better. And best days are coming. So leave that in. I've always been good. All right. So before now, I used to always, when we go for SU conference, every year I always go to give my life to Christ and to rededicate. So no matter what they call, I will always go out. And then when I come back, I will do for the first 1 week, of course. I was quiet. I will not talk. I would just be calm like this, like that. After 1 week, 2 weeks, if I'm very, very good and patient, it goes off. And the next thing, I'm already fighting my sisters and already doing a lot of things. So it was always a struggle. So I would sit in front of my mother's shop and I'm like, this hell, they always keep struggling, telling us that nobody will make it. So what is going to even happen now? God, why is God wicked? Why did he create us like this? I'm not just, is it that he doesn't like us? So have I not done my best? I've tried. This is the way it's affected. I did not want to shout on her, but she was annoying. You know, you just talk. Did we not do it? Yes. So this was a man documenting all the struggles he had seen happening on earth, which is very real. These are actually things that happen. These are the struggles that happen on earth. It is normal. Okay. All right. So Elohim, verse 13, this is what he's saying. Verse 13, and I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sort travail that God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. As in the understanding of knowing what happened. He said God has given to man to, and that is what he calls the travail. But this is all he was doing in this book. That he wants to set out to understand the things that happen on earth. And that was what he did. And that was what he recorded. All right, so let us see. He was analyzing events he has seen happen on earth, actions, consequences, all the circumstances. Let's see what he said in chapter 3. Chapter 3, are you there? No, we already analyzed this book in our Jesus, so I'm not trying to do anything very in depth. We'll just see what is relevant to what we are talking this morning. Chapter 3, verse 1. So everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. And all the time there. Is this correct according to what happens on earth? Is it correct? Yes. There's actually time, different things and different seasons. There are sometimes people, there's a time merriment, things are working fine. Other times things are not working fine. This is just the reality of a man on the earth. It doesn't take away anything. I think this is just, don't forget, so we're analyzing things on the earth. We have not talked about the reality of a Christian yet. We are answering the first question. Does God not care about the things that happen on earth? So that's where we're analyzing first of all. Okay, so these are the things that happen on earth. All right, let's see chapter 5. Just give a record. In this earth, there is time. There's a time for everything. All these things happen at one time or the other. It will definitely happen. Whether crying, weeping, it will definitely happen at one point or the other. That was what he was saying in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. All right, so let's see chapter 5 from verse 9. Verse 9. Moreover, the profit of the earth is for all. The king himself is served by the field. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. What is he saying in verse 9? He's saying that the profit of the earth is for all. That means the food that comes out from the ground is for all. Even the king, no matter how rich he is, what he eats is from the earth. There is nobody that will say, I am so rich now that I don't need to eat food anymore. I will eat my gold and my silver. It doesn't happen. So it is from the earth everyone eats from. And then he's saying that those that even love silver, those that love wealth, even if it increases, they are not satisfied. Is that not true? Is that not true? Why would a man, like Pastor was saying, people want to go and bury millions and billions of naira in shock away? First of all, are you burying that money for yourself? Where will you see the... I just don't know. Because They will never be satisfied. You have more, you just want much more. Like I was telling them in the car yesterday, I say if it's possible that if somebody has resigned from being a president, he can go back to become a governor and be a senator again in this country. Don't you think they will do it? They will do it. Because when a person's heart is set on that path, he is never satisfied, no matter how much he gets. All right, so this was Ecclesiastes was talking, the preacher was talking about in this book. All right, now let's see. Where were we? Verse 11 now. Okay. When goods increase, they are increased that eats them. When, do you understand what that means? When your resources become plenty, the people that are going to benefit from it, it happens now. Once you just hear, they get a call, everybody says, okay, becomes the local government chairman now. Do you know, and that news was just announced. The persons that have not remembered you for 100 years, that's when we start tracing familiarity. Oh, God, you don't know me again. Now, my mama brought that time. That time now, that time where we just, you understand what I try to talk now. People will be tracing, why? Just because they want to partake of what they felt you have increased in. Just that. So you see them all over. Once goods increase, the people that want to partake of it, they increase as well, which is normal. All right, let's see. And when what good is there to the owners thereof? Say, except the beholding of them with their eyes. That means only to see the owners, there's no more profit, extra profit, apart from the fact that they can see that they have money. But it will just be going down very fast because of the plenty persons that are there. All right, so verse 12, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. There is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. But those riches perish by evil travail, and he begetted a son, and there is nothing in his hand. This is saying that he has seen one evil that happens. A man increases in wealth. He gets a lot of money, and he saves the money. But an evil comes up, and he loses all that money. And then he gets a son, and he has nothing to pass over. Does it not happen? It does. So whether for whatever reason somebody just keeps storing wealth or something, and one crash, one stock, like the stock market crash that happened some years back in the US, and then people that were billionaires before suddenly became penniless, and there was nothing beyond shame to pass on to others. So whatever reason, whatever, that is what he was describing there as an evil. All right, so let's see verse 15. And he came forth his mother's womb naked. Naked shall he return as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor, which he may carry away in his hands. All right, so that is, of course, every man is born without anything, is buried without anything. That is what he was talking about. But you know, in another chapter, he said he has also seen another evil. The man that is even able to accumulate a lot and still pass it on, yet somebody else squanders the money. The next person that he passes on the money to squanders it, and at the end of the day, all his own toil while he was on earth becomes useless. So all these things was what Solomon was referring to as the vexation of spirit. Because by the time you analyze it, you just get upset. Okay, what are we? What is this life for? What's that the essence? If I gather money now and I say I want to keep it, something might happen that will make all the money go. If I say, okay, if something eventually does not happen and I pass it on to somebody else, what is the guarantee that that person can also preserve all the toil of my life? So it just, and then you just like, I beg you, that's why, that is the, all these Rastafarian, all these people that was their own philosophy. Just take one day at a time. Let us just enjoy life and just feel our way and just be going. Because they felt there was no point to the meaningless toils on earth. This is the reality of a man on earth. All right, let's see chapter 9. Chapter 9. Okay, verse 1. For all these I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean and to the unclean. To him that sacrificeth and to him that sacrificeth not, as is of the good, so is the sinner. And he that sweareth as he that feareth an oath. There is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yes, also the hearts of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their hearts while they live, and after they go to the death. Now, what was Solomon saying here? He's saying that for every man on earth, the same thing happens to all of them, no distinction. Do you understand? That means one event, The same catastrophe, the same evil can happen to a man that is very, very righteous and can also happen to a man that is a sinner. An earthquake happens now and it clears everybody in that path. In that place, there can be believers. This is not okay. They are not believers at this point. So let me just restrict it. There can be persons that fear God here and both persons that hate God. The same earthquake takes everybody. Do you understand? That is what Solomon was saying, that there is no special treatment. On earth, things happen. Under the sun, the things that happen to the sun are common to all men. And evil can take a place and it does not respect. The earthquake does not respect who is here or is not here. It just takes everybody. So the man that is good, the man that is bad, one evil happens to everyone. Physical death happens to everyone. Sickness comes, a wave of plague comes, and it just affects everybody. This is what Solomon was documenting as his own reality under the earth. This is what happens. All right, so he was saying there is no distinction. That same chapter 9, go to verse 11. Verse 11, he said another thing that happens under the sun. I returned and I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. What is he talking about? This word time and chance is something that is on the earth. It does not respect men. Do you understand? All he was talking about here was probability. It is though you might be the battle is done to the strong. So a man that is very physically strong and built, that can carry 350 kg, you expect that man is very strong, right? Yet, somehow, he's in a fight with somebody else and he loses the fight to somebody that just weighs like me now. I can beat him up and just punch him one punch and he falls down. It's possible. So that's why I say the strong people do not always win. Or the race always to the swift. You see somebody practicing for an Olympic event and the guy is very fast and he just goes, and you know nobody can beat him on this pitch. And then he climbs to the pitch. Halfway through, he gets muscle pull. Have you seen it a lot in Olympic when you watch the games? Somebody that was already very fast, already very, very, very close, he just gets a muscle pull. He can no longer continue. Then somebody from behind overtakes. The race is not always to the swift. Not, the money does not always come to the men of skill. Many persons graduate with the first class, best students in their classes, and they are working for persons who did not even go to school. Does it not happen? Yes, that is what goes on under the earth. So they spend all their years in school. Imagine, you know what it means to graduate the first class? You know the amount of dedication and reading you would have done. You would have read like your vapor is coming out from your head. And when you are done with all that, some persons, even with first class, do not have jobs. Is that correct? And then you will see somebody that is just a very unnecessary... Jesus. Somebody without, you know what people call NFA, that goes patrol school, no future ambition, right? He's just moving around, doesn't go for class, doesn't do anything. Yet, because his father has one corporation somewhere, the same person graduates, in fact, he gets pass. What's than pass in school? Their first class, third, second class, third class, he does not even graduate. Maybe they just, after he has spilled for how many years, they just give him a certificate of power. Oh, yeah, leave the school. You have a certificate of attendance. And yet that man becomes the CEO of a company. That is what happens. So that kind of thing causes vexation. If you want to see the frustrations of men, just go to where people gather to read newspapers. I don't think they do it now these days anyway, because newspaper is now on their phones now. Before, oh my God. Just go to those places. 3 hours, 4 hours. They are arguing. They are angry. They are just, see, what did that Buhari call do now? You see, they are just frustrated. You see some of them with their briefcase of going to look for jobs. That's their civic bag. They will just come to the newspaper, copy the vacancies that were there, and then they'll just keep it and then they'll start talking. They are angry. They've gone around under sun looking for a job that was not there. And then every day, they come back, you're not here, that your classmate that was not serious in school. Is that, in fact, maybe you go for an interview, after you have prepped and you have carried your suit, you've borrowed a suit from somebody, you are looking prim and proper, you go for the interview and you see that the person interviewing you is the person you were mocking in school that he was not serious. And then the person sees that like, oh, you're here. You're here for the job too. Can we go to one now? We are just looking for something better. What have you been doing since school? The Lord has been helping us. We have just been, you know, the Lord is in control. The Lord is in control. That's all you say. So it just happens. It just goes round the soul. When you just see issues and things happening, no, that is some things, you hear some cases and it just makes you want to weep. Somebody graduates from school, the very day he's graduating, he receives an accident and he dies. Or the sad thing of a 100-level student here that was drowned in the pool in the University of Abuja here. So a lot of things you just hear, what is going on? That is the reality of the man under the sun. That is what we have been trying to trace from the beginning here, that a chaos was introduced on this earth, that because of that chaos, and that chaos came about by the choice of man, because of that chaos, the world system and everything in it has degenerated to a place where this preacher can say here that time and chance happens to them all. So that instrumentality of time and chance came as a result of the disobedience of a man. It is not a function of God. It's not even a function of a Christian or not. This is what is the lot of a man. Man, don't forget that, of men under the sun. Okay, so we'll pause here, and from the next one we continue, we'll now start talking about what about the believer? What hope then does the believer has? If this is what is sure for every man under the sun, or every man as long as he's on this earth, that is defined by cosmos. Don't forget that interpretation of cosmos, how things operate, the system of this world. If that is all that there is, and there is no further hope, we'll discuss it when we gather. All right, let's just bow our heads and just pray. Hallelujah. Just pray. You understand these things. Understanding is yours.